So on the bottom of Daf Dalai Mavis is perhaps one of the most famous 2-3 line Gemaras that you'll find in all of Shas, and that is about 4 lines from the 5 lines from the bottom. So So nowadays that we're experts in establishing the calendar, so why do we still continue to do 2 days of Yantiv? So Mishum Deshalchu Misam, because they sent back from there. They sent that question, the answer was sent back. Hisaru v'minag avaseichem biyadeichem. Be careful with the minag of your fathers that's in your hands. Right? Zimnin degazvi malchus gezeira v'asi la'kalkule. That there might be a government one day that may make some kind of a decree against you, and then you're going to come to her. You're going to have a problem. You're then going to have a problem. So, if you ask most people, just on the street, just take a poll, why do we still keep 2 days of Yantif nowadays, even though we have a calendar? The answer that you'll get back is,
One day in Israel corresponds to 2 days here. We don't know exactly what the time is.
We don't know what the time is, but we do know what the time is. If I were just to ask you this question, why we have a calendar? We know which day is Pesach.
Minog
avaseichem biyadeichem. That's generally the answer that we give. But if you look carefully at the Gemara, that's only either it's two answers or it's only the first half of the answer. The second half of the answer is, there might be a government that may come along, and you're going to then have a problem. So that second part of the Gemara, the government coming along and having a problem, so that's what we'd like to focus on. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, Gazu Amalchus Gezeira, 4 lines from the bottom, Shalis Asku B'Torah, they're going to make a Gezeira, you're not going to be able to involve in Torah, V'yishtakeach Soda Ibor Mikem, you're going to forget how to lengthen shorten the days, V'tavdu Nami Chad Yoma, and then you're going to continue to do one day, you're not going to realize that you have an option of doing 2 days, V'asi L'Kalkule, V'lasos Chaser Mali, Umali Chaser, you're going to mess up, you're going to make the long months short, and the short months long, V'tochlu Chametz Pesach, and you're going to end up eating Chametz on Pesach. Concern is, if we don't keep 2 days of Yantif, you might get the wrong day, and you might end up eating Chametz on Pesach. Now, one other horror that will happen is, why only Chametz on Pesach? You also might not eat in the Sukkah on the right night, and you might not bench Luv on the right day,
you might not have Yom Kippur,
the Seder on the right day. Yom Kippur, we only keep one day anyways, so Yom Kippur is a little bit of an anomaly.
Presumably they're not going to mess up in Eretz Yisrael, and so it's going to have to be that this government is going to not let us simply follow the calendar that they follow in Eretz Yisrael. Because we don't have a concern.
Maybe. Another question you could add in this, so why is this only, if the concern is really that a government is going to come along and going to aser Talmud Torah and going to not let you keep the calendar, so why is that only a concern in Chutz La'aretz? It should be a concern in Eretz Yisrael just the same. Right? Just like, under the British mandate or under the Turks, one can imagine that they would prohibit, or the Romans. The Romans did aser. That's how this whole thing got started, is that the Romans came and aser doing the calendar. So they aser doing the calendar, so why are we only concerned outside of Eretz Yisrael? We should be also concerned inside of Eretz Yisrael. So that is the overarching question. Those are the main questions, how to understand those issues. But in order to get back to an answer to that, we kind of have to go take a nice loop around a little bit. And that is, not to go that far, but on the very next daf, the Gemara raises a question under part of a different sugya, of why do we continue to with regards to the beitza? Why is it that the beitza is aser on both days? It should be mutter on the first day, and it should be aser on the first day and mutter on the second day. And a quote from that nowadays, so that Rabbi Yochanan.
I thought we learned up to this. That's the way Rab holds.
So the Gemara raises a question. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana that the witnesses can be accepted for the entire day. Yochanan ben Zakkai is after the destruction of the beitza mikdash. So you don't have this issue with the Karbanos. So we could establish Rosh Hashanah as being the day, as opposed to being at Yom HaRichta. So the Gemara says, now that we have the Takanos of Rabbi Yochanan and Mitzakai, why do we still prohibit an egg from day one to day two? We should now say Rosh Hashanah is like the rest of the Yom Tovim, that it's two independent days, and you should be able to have one from day one to day two. That's the question that the Gemara asks. So the Gemara says, so having Dover Shiva, so the Gemara answers, because it's a Dover Shiva minion, That this prohibition of not having an egg is a davar shebeminyan. What does it mean, a davar shebeminyan? Have you seen that term? Something that was established based on account. What does it mean, account? Meaning the account of the Talmid Chacham. Meaning the Rabbana, davar shebeminyan is a code word for a gezeir of the Chachamim. In this case, would be a gezeir of the Chachamim. Right. So because it's a gezeira, so in order to be mevatel that gezeira, you need to take another vote. You need to have a, what do you call it, based in gadol shebetorah v'minyan, that's greater in Torah knowledge and minyan. Both of those are very vague terms. We have no idea really how to understand that. But they, whatever it means. But you need something big to happen in order to be mevatel gezeiras. And that's a concept that we hear, that even though the gezeira doesn't apply, we still do it because that's the way that it always was. So Rav Schechter has an article in Eretz Tzvi. We'll quote some of the examples, but he goes through all Dalet Chelkei Shulchan Aruch and points out that there are plenty of gezeiros that, because the reason fell away, the gezeira falls away as well. So I'll just give some of those examples that he gives. So one of them is a tachshitin on Shabbos, wearing decorations on Shabbos. I left it over there, but in...
Right. Okay.
In Shin Gimel talks about not wearing certain types of tachshitin on Shabbos, plus of the concern that might be an area where there's no Erev, so we prohibit certain types of tachshitin. So the Shulchan Aruch says, but nowadays we see all the women wear all these things, and no one seems to be complaining about them. So why doesn't anybody seem to be complaining about them? So Shulchan Aruch suggests two answers. Number one answer is, well, maybe they're just doing the wrong thing. Women are doing the wrong thing, and we have a concept in the Gemara that the mutter shai shogin value mizid, that rather let them just violate the din b'shogig, and we're not going to correct them. This is only a din derabanan at worst, so that concept applies. So just let it be, and we'll move on. The second thing that Shulchan Aruch says is that, well, nowadays maybe they're only wearing it in places where there's an eruv, or at least there's a at worst there's only rishus harabim derabanan. So because we don't have a concern of Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa, so we don't have to worry about that issue anymore. So the Beir Halacha there says, hold on a second. You're telling me that we don't have these Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa anymore, which is a concept that we see. It pops up every once in a while. This the concern of actually, whenever the Gemara is talking about a Malacha of carrying, it's always talking about it in the context of a Durabanan. The Gemara just assumes that really the prohibition would only be a Din Durabanan, which is our assumption nowadays as well. According to 90% of Achronim, if our eruv was down on Shabbos, so the only concern is really a din derabanan, not a din d'oraisa. If the string came down, right, it would only be derabanan, not d'oraisa. So the Beir Halacha stops and kind of scratches his head and says, "Wait a second, we have a very famous gezeira that is built on the idea that carrying is prohibited on Shabbos. What is that? If Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, so we don't bench Lulav and we don't blow shofar. So if that's the case, that gezeira should fall away also. If the gezeira of the woman wearing jewelry is going to fall away because there's no Rishus HaRabim anymore, so the gezeira against blowing shofar and carrying Lulav should also fall away because there's no Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa anymore. So that's issue. So that's a good question. Wait a second. So which one is it? Is it that the reason has fallen away, or is it that the reason has not fallen away?
That's what Reformed Jews ask that question.
That is part of the... I'll try to slip that in a little bit later on. Another thing that Rav Schechter quotes, that there's a famous Chuvus HaRash. The Rush had a very interesting life. The Rush... got smicha, learned in Germany, got smicha in Germany, was the Rav in Germany, and then because of persecution had to leave Germany, ran across, I guess you would call it southern Europe, southern Germany, southern France, ended up in Provence for a little bit, ended up in Spain, learned b'chavrusa with the Rashba for a year, and then the Rashba found him a job in the town of Toledo, and he became the Rav in Toledo, and that's where he composed most of his the Rush. That's where most of it was written, and that's where most of the chuvos that came from the Rush.
The Pyrenees.
He crossed the Pyrenees, which is fascinating. I mean, he is one of, I don't know too many other people that one could think of that actually was a Rav in Ashkenaz as well as in Sfard. So as a result, he has some very interesting responsa of comparing the two civilizations. So one of the tshuvas that he has is that there is a Gemara in Menachos when it talks about... Tcheles, that the din is that Tcheles has to be on wool strings. So what about if you have a linen garment? So you have a linen garment, that's okay. You put on the wool tzitzis. You have a problem of shachnis. That's okay. Ase docha lo sase. The only way to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis on a linen garment is to take wool tzitzis, is to take wool tcheles and put it on. So ase docha lo sase, that's going to win out. The Gemara ever says that it's a problem. There a problem developed because that some things never change. Tcheles is very expensive. So people would sell fake tcheles. So they would sell indigo, and that was a problem because now you're putting on blue tzitzis, not tcheles tzitzis, and the tzitzis strings are still wool, and now you're violating shachnis. So the Gemara says that there was a gezeirah that was made that no one could wear linen talisim anymore because of this concern, because of the concern that people are going to put wool blue tzitzis on, thinking that it's tcheles, and then they're going to violate the din of shachnis.
Wouldn't it be wool even if it was tcheles? I thought tcheles was a dye, not the material.
Right, but the tzitzis don't have to be wool. Tzitzis could be other materials as well. It could be linen tzitzis. So if you're wearing a linen garment, you would need to wear linen tzitzis.
Right.
Except for the tcheles string. The tcheles string has to be wool.
I see.
So if you're wearing a linen garment, you would still put on a tcheles wool string. But if it's only an indigo wool string, so then you're now in violation of shatnes.
So with tcheles, you had a heter? Is that shat?
So with tcheles, right. With tcheles, it's not really, it's more than a heter. It's asidochalosa. That's the way the mitzvah is done. If you want to wear tcheles with a linen garment, the way the tzitzis is done is, the way the mitzvah is done is that you wear a wool string with the linen garment. So the Rush says that he shows up, and that was the din. He always thought that was the din. And then the Rush shows up in Spain, and he sees that people, lo and behold, are wearing linen talisim. And he wants to. There's a couple of examples that he has in the Tshuvas where he starts raising a ruckus, and then they yell at him, "Oh, you know, calm down, Rabbi. You've only been here a few years. You don't really know what's up." So here he doesn't sound like he got too excited. He just like asked around, like, "What's going on here? Why is everyone wearing linen talisim?" And they said, "Well, there's no concern for tcheles anymore. There's no concern for tcheles anymore because we don't have tcheles." So there's no concern of that mix-up coming. So therefore, we can now go back to wearing linen talisim, plus everybody's only wearing linen tzitzis, and therefore there's no chashash. So once again, you have this question. So why did the gezeirah fall away? Another example is in the mitzvah of refuah b'Shabbos. So why is it that medication is prohibited on Shabbos? So the motivation, it's unclear. The motivation might be different than the way the gezeirah actually was carried out, but the way the gezeirah was set up is we're concerned that if you take medication, you might go to your backyard and crush up the herbs, and you're going to... And violate the malach of Tochein on Shabbos. So the Mishnah Berurah raises the question, well, nowadays that people don't do that anymore, they don't have full pharmaceutical pharmacies in their backyards, they have to actually go to a store and buy pills, or you buy medication other ways, so maybe the malacha should then, maybe the prohibition should fall away. So... why? I thought it's a pretty solid, rock-solid gezeirah. Why would the gezeirah fall away? Just simply because the reason behind the fall away. And we'll just give one more. This is a cute little thing. A couple of years ago, I put this together with a few other things to come with a shiur on Sukkos on crazy esrog stories or possibility communities where esrogim didn't exist. There's a couple of different things over the course of history that we're able to put together. So this is one of them, that the Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in his Sefer quotes from the Aderet. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank was in Eretz Yisrael, wasn't an issue there, but there was the assistant Rav of Yerushalayim at that time was the Aderet, who was Rav Kook's father-in-law, forgetting his name right now, Rav Tumim, I think. So he was the Rav of Panovich and then made Aliyah. He came before Rav Kook did, and he was, you know, was able to arrange it that Rav Kook would then come and become the Rav of Yafo. So what's interesting with the Aderet is that he came, Rav Shmuel Salant was already like 70 years old, he's 75, he's too old to be the Rav, we need to find an assistant rabbi. So they hired the Aderet, who was 20 years younger than him. Rav Shmuel Salant ended up living till something like 98, and he ended up living past the Aderet. So on his Matseva, on the Aderet's Matseva, it says, Sheninu Leos, that it was chosen to be Harav Yerushalayim HaKadosh, but he never actually became the Rav of Yerushalayim. So anyway, so the Aderet records that in the town of Panovich, they had one Esrog. There were a lot of Jews that lived in Panovich. A lot of Jews wanted to use that one Esrog. That was the thing, right? Everybody used to line up and use one set of Dalet Minim. So the Aderet said that even though the din is that we generally only bench lulav and esrog after sunrise, because of the abundance of people that need to use it, we could start benching lulav and esrog after alos hashachar, after daybreak. So the question was, well, wait a second, why do we wait till Netzachama? So we wait till Netzachama because that's really a din derabanan. Really, the rice of the day starts at daybreak at Alos HaShachar, but because we're concerned about maybe not having the right time, we say there's a gezeir that we have to wait till Netzachama. So wait a second, what happened? So he said, well, nowadays things are a little different because Baruch Hashem, we have something in the back of the shul called the clock, and we can look at the clock and we can figure out exactly what the time is. We don't have to worry about whether we're reading or misreading the sun anymore. Wait a second, Zera was to hold off till Netzachama. Why is that? So those are four examples. He has several other examples that he gives, but that gives us a flavor. So he has the following. Shachter develops the following yisod, and that is based on one more, which we alluded to before, and that is one of the most famous gezeiros, the gezeiros de Rava, the gezeiros that we're not going to bench lulav or blow shofar on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Why? Because we're concerned that people are going to carry it dalet amos b'rishus haram, that people are going to carry it in the street. So the Taz asks a question. He says, hold on, if that's the case, maybe we should aser it for another reason. I mean, if maybe there's another gezeira that blowing shofar perhaps should fall under, and that is mashmiya kol.
What's mashmiya kol?
Mashmiya kol is playing instruments. So why isn't it aser to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah because of blowing instruments? So the Taz says that... That's kind of an issue. The Taz there explains, because if we were to ask for that reason, it would the gezeira would totally be batal, meaning it would all fall away. We would never actually be able to do it.
Is that a rabbanin, as opposed to shofar, which is a raisa? Is it blowing instruments into rabbanin? Because we're afraid we may fix an instrument or do something deraisa.
Right. So we have it's the same thing, meaning we're concerned for
but
a greater problem.
Blowing the instrument is rabbanin. Blowing the shofar is right. The riser, I would think. So, you know, the riser would...
Well, carrying in Rishus Rabbim is also probably is also a din derabanan. So, how are we allowed to do these things? I mean, how are we allowed to do them in the first place? So anyways, the Taz explains the reason that you're allowed to, that gezeira is not going to stand. The gezeira of Mashmiya Kol, we're not going, because that would be mevatel the entire mitzvah. Right, so therefore that kind of cut that away. But wait a second. But in general, how do we have the right in the first place to be mevatel these mitzvos? Right, there's a mitzvah to do, and all of a sudden the rabbanan are coming along and saying, "Well, don't go ahead and do it." So the answer is that the Gemara itself says the Gemara builds up this concept of yesh koch b'yad chachamim lakar dav min haTorah b'sheviatase, that the rabbanan have the right, the rabbanan have the power to be oker dav min haTorah, to remove something from the Torah. B'shevi al tasa, without actively doing it. I mean, they have the right to say, rather than risk carrying in Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos, we're going to tell you to stay home and not blow shofar, or come to shul but leave the shofar at home and not blow shofar. Rather than carrying a lulav in Rishus HaRabim, we're going to tell you to stay home and not do it. The Rabbanan have the ability to say yesh koach b'yachom. They have the power to say shevi al tasa, sit still and don't do it. However, he turns around and says, the only time that they have the right to do that is if there is a good reason to do that. Now, by most Dinei Durabanan has the same, this is where you get into the idea of Darshin and Taima Dekra. And when it comes to Psukim in the Torah, so we have mitzvahs in the Torah, and we have a prohibition of Darshin and Taima Dekra. We have a prohibition of... according to 99% of Tanaim, we don't go around and say, oh, that's the reason for that mitzvah, and therefore I'm going to paskin based on that reason that I assume. There's a prohibition of of writing on Shabbos. Why is that? Because the Torah doesn't want me to develop my penmanship on Shabbos. So therefore, if I type, it's going to be okay. All right, we don't go ahead and try to figure out what the reasons are. A din is a din, regardless of what art. Now, we might pontificate as to what the reasons are. We might philosophize as to what the reasons are. There are books written, like the Sefer HaChinuch, right, that suggest what the reasons are, but we're not going to go ahead and paskin based on what that reason is, with the exception of if the Torah itself gives us the reason. If the Torah says, for instance, by the king, we don't want you to have many wives because so that the wives don't come and mess up your heart. I forget the terminology, but that they won't lead you astray. So Shlomo HaMelech said, well, if I'm smart enough that they're not going to lead me astray. Now, it happens to be that he was wrong. But the din of, I'm therefore not going to, he had, it could be that the prohibition of not marrying too many wives falls away because he assumed the reason is in the Torah, and therefore I could violate that reason if the reason doesn't apply to me, so I could go ahead and go over it. So remember when Rav Shimon is the one who holds their Shina time of the Kara, and everybody else gangs up against him. So I remember one time when I was in Rav Shach Lushir, so he was talking about this then. And he said, yes, Rav Shimon says, if we know the reason, you could paskin based on that reason. But then he adds in, b'stama, if Rav Shimon was alive today, he would be a Reform rabbi. So the way the story goes, when I was in Rav Shechter's chair at that time, I was sitting here, right? Rav Shechter was here at the desk, and I sat where Jay was sitting. I used to sit right on the side. So part of the story goes is that Rav Shechter said this line, and you should have seen the face that Yoni Gross had when he said that. So that was a pretty wild statement, but that's essential. So we are not Dorish time of the Kara generally, except for when the reason is given. So comes Rav Shechter and suggests, so the same thing would be when it comes to Gezeira Derabbanan as well. Generally, we have Gezeira Derabbanan and we don't know the reasons for them, that the Rabbanan established various things. The Gemara even has machlokasim, has disputes. What exactly was the reason that they were doing it? Bishalakum, kinds of things like that. So what exactly was the reason? Yayin Nesach, what exactly was the reason for that? And is that a fully encompassing reason, or is that only part of the reason? So that is that's out there. But when it's clear what the reason was, when integral to the Gezeira was the reason, so then you have the ability to say that if the reason falls away, so then the Gezeira would fall away. And then Rav Shechter then adds in the following very important caveat, and that is that the Rabbanan had a choice. When they made a Gezeira, you can include the reason, not include the reason. But if that Gezeira is Oker Dover Min HaTorah, if that gezeira is removing a mitzvah from the Torah, so then there's no choice anymore. Then you have to include the reason, and then, because the reason is included, if the reason falls away, so then the gezeira is going to fall away. So if we go through the entire list of things that we covered so far, so all of them have to do with Akira Dover Min HaTorah, perhaps, right? So, let's see. So the Esrog after Netzach Hama that the Adaret permitted, so that clearly has to do with a mitzvah. So by saying we're not going to do to Ben Shalulav before Netzach Hama, that, especially for the town of Punovich in the late 1800s, is being Oker Dover Min HaTorah. So you had to say what the reason was. The reason is, once we're concerned, we might not have the right time, might really still be nighttime. But nowadays we have clocks, so the reason has fallen away, because the reason has fallen away, so therefore the Gezeira falls away as well. That's the suggestion by Refuah B'Shabbos as well. Refuah B'Shabbos is not really because it's Oker Dover Min HaTorah in terms of being Oker Mitzvah, but certainly is Oker headache, or not Oker a headache, if it certainly is, it could get rid of someone's enjoyment on Shabbos, or it puts one in the situation of suffering perhaps for this. So that would be another reason as well, that perhaps the reason would go away. That's the suggestion that the Mishnah Berurah had. The Mishnah Berurah suggests maybe the Gezeira on Refuah should fall away on Shabbos. Now, Rav Shechter says, so why wasn't it? Why wasn't it rejected? So he says, because the Gezeira included all aspects of refuah, not just healing refuah, but also vitamins, also enhancing refuah. So enhancing refuah, then that doesn't fall into that subject, and because the entire gezeira wouldn't be mevatel, that's why that gezeira is still totally in effect. The issue of sudden betzitzis as well, the linen tzitzis that the Rush was complaining about. So there as well, one could say, well, why is that okar davar min haTorah? It's not okar davar min haTorah because instead of wearing linen talisim, I could just wear wool talisim. Why am I demanding that I wear linen talisim? So the answer is we have to understand exactly what the mitzvah tzitzis is. The mitzvah tzitzis is more than just you have to put on a garment in the morning, let it be wool or whether it be linen. No, the mitzvah is once you're wearing a four-cornered garment, you then have a mitzvah to put tzitzis on. So I want to put on a linen garment, then I have a chiyuv to put tzitzis on. So you can't tell me, the real gezeira was, if you're wearing a linen garment, you don't wear tzitzis on it. That was the gezeira, because of the concern that you're going to put on these tcheles and all those problems. But if that reason then falls away, so I have the Rabbanan have no right to put a gezeira against wearing tzitzis on linen garments once you're already wearing the linen garments. The issue with tachshitin is one could say, well, it's a mitzvah on Shabbos to dress up really nicely, but perhaps one would say a little bit more that with tachshitin, the reason that the Be'er Halacha, so maybe that's why it would fall away. The reason isn't there anymore. But then what's the difference between tachshitin and shofar? Why is it? I mean, how do you deal with the Be'er Halacha's question? So, okay, so if you're going to say that that the woman can wear whatever decorations they want, whatever jewelry they want, so then you should be able to blow shofar on Shabbos again. So why is that? Why is there a distinction there? So I thought that maybe tachshitin is subject to local halachos versus shofar is a national din. And if the gezeira of shofar falls away, that means that everywhere they're going to blow shofar, regardless of whether it's Rosh Hashanah or Rosh Hashanah. You're place they don't blow shofar? Well, us, we don't have the right. It's very hard to distinguish between Rosh Hashanah d'oraisa versus Rosh Hashanah d'rabbanan. It's hard to make that call. So you still have the right to say we're going to prohibit shofar throughout the entire world because in that place he's going to carry it on Shabbos. As opposed to jewelry, so all right, woman's wearing it here, she's not going to wear it there. I mean, that could be the responsibility of individual rabbanan to make that call for their particular location.
I'm just wondering if maybe by shofar it was a darsh of minyan, and maybe the tachshitin was not a darsh of minyan. So if it's darsh of minyan, so you can't be oiker unless you have bezem galu
chaver. Right, except the language in the Shulchan Aruch, I believe, I don't have it in front of me. I think the language in Shulchan Aruch is gezeira. I think that the gezeira falls away. Why not? Why aren't they observing the gezeira of tachshitin?
No, so the lashon gezeira is not. It's funny. You know what's funny? I gave a chabur on the same thing. So it's not. It's, the lashon is not so much gzeira, and that's my choice between Tosis and the Rambam.
Okay.
Because Tosis is learning that it's a gzeira, right? Tosis here on daf hey, and Tosis not vav. Hey on the bottom.
Okay.
Right where he says the last line. He says Avar Hazman. Right? And Taisis on the Vav Amar Aleph also, he says that the Kevin the Zat Ham Yishum Chashash of Avra and Dira Masal Hidna on the Vav Amar Aleph.
Yeah. But that could just be, that was the way that one was constructed. That pulls the question away. I mean, the Be'er Halacha asked the question there. Why is it that we would say that Tachshit and Gezeira falls away, but not Shofar and Shabbos falls away?
Right.
So you're pulling away the assumption. You say, well, there's no question because one was a Gezeira and one wasn't a Gezeira. One was a long term Gezeira and one wasn't a long term Gezeira.
Possibly.
Okay. Fine. Yeah. Fine. That's fine. Okay. So now we pull this all the way back to the question we originally asked with regards to why do we keep 2 days of Yontif? So the same concept exists. Why do we keep 2 days of Yontif if the reason for the Gezeira seems to have fallen away? So Gemara says, well, minagav seichem biyadeichem. Well, that's the way it was done, so we're going to continue doing it. The problem is, if you're going to say that, but you're being oker mitzvos by doing so, right? By keeping 2 days of Yontif, you're also, well, that's a starting point is tefillin. That's the easiest one to say. There might be other mitzvahs as well. I mean, you're some other, you might be delaying a kvura. I mean, there's other things also, but the most obvious one is you're being ochre the mitzvah of tefillin. You're saying, don't put on tefillin because of this concern about 2 days of yantiv. So in order to do so, you couldn't just say, oh, well, that's the way it always was, and for old time's sake, we're just going to continue it. You actually had, the reason for the gezeira had to be included within the gezeira. And that's why you needed the second part of that sentence as well. Because there might be times when the gezeira is still going to come into play today. That you might be stuck someplace, and you're not, or they're going to ask your Talmud Torah, or you're going to be in prison. I mean, is it so hard to imagine that Natan Sharansky or any of that those people that were stuck in prison that they weren't given a calendar and didn't know and are trying to figure out based on the moon which day is Yantif, and they should keep 2 days of Yantif, right? We should keep 2 days of Yantif in order to ensure that that they're able to cover the in order to cover the right day. So if we say, well, we're all going to keep 1 day, but you should just remember that if you're not sure, you can keep 2 days. So come on, who then is ever going to keep 2 days? No one's going to keep 2 days, right? You have to have it established so that it's known that there is a 1 day yantiv and there's a possibility of keeping a 2 day yantiv, and that because that's the reason for the gezeira, it still continues to be applicable today. It still continues to be totally applicable. There is a little bit of an issue with regards to the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Yantif. So when he talks about keeping 2 days of Yantif and the sixth parak, so he, in the first parak he mentions that we keep 2 days today. Why? He says because that's our minhag. He doesn't say the full reason. He only uses the reason for minhag. So wait a second. Why? Why do we keep? If that's the case, why do we? What does the Rambam do with this idea? So. The Rambam, so I thought to maybe explain that later on, in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, in the fifth parak of Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, so the Rambam there discusses when you're going to keep 1 day of Yantif, when you're going to keep 2 days of Yantif, and he describes it in the context of, you figure out what the circle is around Yerushalayim, and if you're within a 10-day walk, so then you're in. If you're not within a 10-day walk, you're out. So why 10 days? So I think it's based because that's the minimum time if you have for Sukkot. So you have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, 1 day of Yom Kippur, and 2 days of two Shabbosim, right? So that comes out some of the days, and that's how he gets to 10 days. So if we were really keeping minhag avoseichem biyadeichem, so wouldn't it be subjective to the year? Meaning the Rambam should try to keep track then, well, which is the places there where the Malachim got to, and which is the Malachim that they didn't get to. And depending on the setup of that particular year, some years they would get there, some years they...
It shouldn't be 10 days, you're saying, right?
It should be subjective according to the year, according to... According to other situations that might be on the ground. This year it's rain. Well, I don't know, it doesn't rain that time of year, but... You know, whatever, it should be subjective based to what other things are going on. So perhaps even the Rambam would admit that even though we're saying minhag avoseichem biyadeichem, it's not 100% only minhag avoseichem biyadeichem. It's really these other things. I mean, we're going to try to keep it as close to minhag avoseichem biyadeichem as you possibly can without driving everybody crazy. But it's still make it a little bit more than just the way things were originally kept. I would add as well, that the Rashi at the end of that Rashi where he said, "What's the problem? The Gezeira Malchus Gid, they're going to make a Gezeira and they're not going to be able to learn Torah." And what does he conclude? So he concludes by saying, "And you're going to end up eating chametz on Pesach." That's the concern. You're going to end up eating chametz on Pesach. Why doesn't he include any of the other things? Because in order to make this gezeira in the first place, it's not enough to say, we have to make a gezeira unless you not do a mitzvah zaseh. Well, you're already not doing is one better than the other? So you have to include a lo taseh as well in order to make sure that that's...
Which is very chomer, of course.
And, right, now, you have a bit of a problem because what about the other yantavs? So Sukkot doesn't have that, so maybe I should only do it for Pesach, not for Sukkot. So that's why I would only say lo tase, but I mean, Rashi may have just chosen that because of the Chamer Karis, but maybe it would be all lo tases in general. But yet we do see, with regards to the mitzvah's assays from one day of Yontif to the next, there are some distinctions between the first day and the second day of Yontif. So, for example, Sukkot is the most obvious. Sukkot is the first night of Yontif. You have to stay up all night waiting for it to stop raining, or you got to go eat in the Sukkot anyways, even though it is raining, and that's problematic. You have to do it the second night of Yontif. So no, we don't do it the second night of Yontif. Why don't we do it the second night of Yontif? So perhaps, what? Was Meikar Din? It really is only a Din Derabanan, and Dini Derabanan fall away in the face of Kavod Abrius. And similarly to Pesach as well, when I wrote this article, I didn't actually have a source for it. I suggested it, but the Din that the second, that for the Seder you have to sell all of your clothing in order to make sure you have dalet kosos. So that's a din out. I said, you have to do that for the second night of Yontif also. So I suggested maybe the same thing. You would say no, because that's a chisaron and kavod avrios, and that would not then reach the point of making that, point of getting to that takana. So anyways.
I'm just wondering that last nekuda, maybe pursuing Esau, what it is, maybe it's more chomer.
What?
Maybe it's more chomer because it's pursuing Esau. Maybe saying the dalet kosos.
You would answer by saying, well, maybe, no, maybe you still have to do it. So I think I did find a makor later on.
Because
15 years since, I think I have found the makor.
By Hanukkah, it's the same site. You still, we say the same din by Hanukkah.
Right.
Which is all the Rabbanan.
Right.
And it's presuming because of presuming Nisa.
Right. Right.
So maybe also here, even though it's the same day, but
okay.
For Shemini,
okay. So I think Rav Shmuel might have that in the Sefer, like me. But I hear your Taina. Now I would extend this to a couple of other concepts as well. It's my suggestion out there, but I think that this helps for a couple of other things as well. Again, what we're saying here now. And when the dust settles on this Gemara, we're saying that because it's possible that this will come into effect, Bisman Hazeh, that it will still be needed, Bisman Hazeh, that's why the Gezerah still lasts. So the Gezerah is not standing for each of those people. I mean, the person living in Lower Merion and saying, oh, well, I know when Yontif is. And the Gezerah is not for you. The Gezerah is for the possibility of the other guy. Meaning we need to know that there's a possibility of keeping 2 days of Yontif because for the time when those situations might show up. So I thought about this. I realized that we have a couple of other, I don't know if you'd call them Gezerahs, a couple of other at least Minhagim that we do. That's also the reason shouldn't apply, but yet we still continue to do them because it's still possible that they could apply. So the example that comes to mind for me is Chazara HaShatz. Chazara HaShatz, why do we do Chazara HaShatz now? Well, because there might be, why do we do Chazara HaShatz ever? The theory of Chazara HaShatz, without the Rav's, Rav Salvechik has a famous piece of Torah that is, no, it's a chiv on the entire tzibur, that we daven together as a tzibur. Okay, but the simple explanation is that because there's somebody there who might not know how to daven, so the chazan davens on his behalf. So how many people show up in shul that don't know how to daven?
That's good.
So it does exist, right? It does exist.
There's an interesting story.
By the way, according to the Laka, though, if he doesn't understand Lashon HaKodesh, then it doesn't work.
Uh-huh. Okay, it still exists. Such a concept could still exist. It probably existed more 300 years ago before there were Siddurim that were all over the place, but it could possibly exist. Yes.
I give a very modicum of support. I heard from Rav Shalom Amaisa, where people, two balabatim at yeshiva, they lived at yeshiva. They were Talmid Chachama, but they went to Rav Yaakov, and I asked them a question. They said, we have tainas on yeshiva. They should do a full by mincha, a full chazar sashas. You know, we come there special. We want to hear a nice full chazar sashas. And Yaakov said, I'm still trying to find a mikor for chazar sashas in general. So just stick with how they're doing it now.
In yeshiva they do hefi kedusha. So I'll get to that in a moment. So why do we do chazar hashatz? So because let's say I decide in the congregation of Beth HaMedrash we're not going to do chazar hashatz anymore. So everybody here knows how to daven. So what's going to happen when that one guy shows up? Right. So now all of a sudden, today we do chazar hashatz because that guy showed up.
You give him a sitter.
I understand, but the concern is that he doesn't know how to do it. So I know you want to say, well, you have to know Hebrew. I'm not sure.
No,
I don't know how to deal with that.
No,
but the possibility exists.
I
understand. I got to look at that.
So he was saying that you have the one person that comes to the shul. All of a sudden, now why? Because he doesn't know what he's doing.
Right. So you can't do it. But the reason, even though the reason doesn't, the gezeirah doesn't apply for me today in my shul, because I look around the room and see who's there. the reason for the Gezeirah still exists, it's just not here today. But we still have to keep it going for us to realize that there is this possibility of doing Chazar HaShatz, otherwise it would completely fall away. The idea of doing Hichi Kiddush, by the way, in the making of a Gadol, it says... This is good, this is a good Hara, that they asked Rav Yaakov about doing Hichi, why do they do Hichi Kiddush in yeshivas? And in Philly Yeshiva also they do Hichi Kiddush. He said, why? He said, because you only have to worry about in shuls that someone's going to show up, and you don't have to worry about it in yeshiva. Wait a second. What do you mean? You why not? I mean, people will show up in yeshiva just like they could show up in shuls. So they asked him what the makor is for that, by the way. And Rav Yaakov said, I'm not really, maybe a different version of maybe the same story, but Rav Yaakov said, I don't know, but that's what we did in Slabodka, and if the altar allowed us to do it in Slabodka, so it's for sure mutter. Right? There's a part of the chapter about how wonderful the altar of Slabodka was. But I would suggest that based on this, that the gezeira of Chazar HaShatz does not necessarily have to be everywhere. It has to be, it has to exist. So the way we've kind of worked things out, Bizman Azeh, is that if you're in a shul, you do Chazar HaShatz, and if you're not in a shul, you don't do Chazar HaShatz, and if you're at a wedding, you don't do Chazar HaShatz, and if you're in the zoo, you don't do Chazar HaShatz. That's the way it's kind of worked out. But that's okay. It's not that we're nitpicking and saying, well, is this the time that we need it? Not, right? It exists. We know that there's such a concept called Chazar HaShatz, and it should continue to exist for those times when the situation demands it. I have the same aura with regards to Kiddush and Shul on Friday night. Why do we bother with Kiddush and Shul on Friday night? Oh, because there might be somebody who doesn't have a place to go and he's going to be guilty with Kiddush and Shul. But nowadays, I mean, if you see somebody like that, someone will invite him over. Yeah, but it still could happen. it's not that the possibility doesn't exist anymore. The reality still is there that it could happen. So we're going to say, oh, well, this week we're going to do Kiddush plus there's one schlepper in the back. So this week we have to do Kiddush to be Yotzei him. Right? That's not going to work out.
Rishonim are very, very upset about it. Many Rishonim.
I understand.
Call it Rav Avital.
I understand, but the Maisa we do it.
Right. So one of the things the Rashba says is that is because since it was instituted, not so much that the person's going to come from Yenisville and he's going to pass through it. Even if a person never comes for another million years.
Right.
But since that was the minute when it was, that's the power of minute even now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the Rashi's approach to it.
Right, so that would then go, that would be a problem for me.
Yeah, right.
That would be a problem for me because, well, why are you able to say a bracha levatala just because you want to keep a minug? Right, so the answer is, it's not a bracha levatala because the possibility could still continue to, the situation could occur bizman hazeh once again. And I, one other one that I had, although this is a little different, but I think it's still the same, is that with shatnas checking. Shatnas checking, mikra din, and people ask me these questions, I didn't have a chance to get shatnas check, but whatever. So it's mutter to wear without shatnas checking because the possibility you're going to find shatnas is really less than a miyut hamatzoi. Is it less than a miyut she'inu matzoi? That how many suits have shatnas? 1%.
Every suit that I buy my suits. There are a lot of people that do this now. They buy used suits in good condition that are very fancy Italian suits, and they always had shatnas.
Okay, so you're talking about high end. Anything you get from high end quality.
Right.
That's a different. That's not where I was going to talk about.
Right. So
you're talking about the regular people like us.
No. You know what you're doing. Right. So if you buy it from Google.shatnas.com, so you might have shatnas in it. But if you buy regular stores, regular suits, so Ruba de Ruba doesn't have shatnas. Once in a while it does, but I don't necessarily have to be choshish and check for that once in a while that it does. The only problem is that if we say, all right, the rabbanim come out and say, we've cured the malady, you don't have to check for shatnas anymore. So how's anyone ever going to know whether it comes up again? What?
That there's a din shatnas,
right? How are you going to know that there's such a thing even exists? So for that reason, I think the takana that we check still is a good. It's like a gezeirah that was made that we're going to continue to check, even though mikra din you don't really have to check. And I want to ask this in here. Rashi was talking about miyud hamatzoi, not miyud hamatzoi. So I raised my hand and said, so do we have to really check our suits for shatnas? Well, you probably don't have to check your suit. I moved on.
Yeah.
but I think Lemaisa, it's not a good community
right.
policy.
The
it's a good community policy to continue to
checkers,
check regardless.
The checkers themselves will tell you it's best to, on those examples you're referring to, like to say, like they've never found something in Shanzan, they'll say, like I said recently, they'll say you could wear without checking it, but it's best to check it.
Okay.
That's what they'll tell you. Similar to what you're saying.
So I think in terms of a community policy decision, I think it's good to maintain
it. So they'll tell you we've never found it there.
And those in that style, yeah. So, all right, so that's what I think comes out of this Gemara. This Gemara is telling you that even though it sounds like the reason has fallen away, the reason has not fallen away. You need to give. If it was that the reason had fallen away, and then you'd be right, you wouldn't have to keep a second day yontif anymore because you're being okered davar min haTorah. You're removing the mitzvah by doing so. But the Gemara goes on and says, no. But the reason still continues to apply because it is possible that it exists. It doesn't exist for you. It could exist for somebody else. And therefore, we have to maintain that practice. And I think that there are several other practices that we have in Judaism where it seems that the reason has fallen away, but because the reason could possibly continue to exist out of Yom Hazeh, we continue to do that.
Yeah. So I just want to share with you a Shomer Yom Ha'alacha, which when I walked in from the other share, I think that's what you were talking about in regards to medicine. So he says, Chelik Beis, he says like this: the Misha Tzarech Mitzar Ha'chreach Levloya Trufas V'Shavis Mutter. Person needs to take medicine because he really needs someone Shabbos. Now, I don't think he's talking to the din if he's a chash b'roisha. If he's a chash b'roisha, so then the halacha says he's mutter. We're not talking about that case. Right? There's a gezeira.
Chash b'roisha is when you don't take it.
No, I'm saying nafil mishkov. I'm sorry. If he's nafil mishkov, yeah. I don't think that's what he's referring to. Because you don't need a heter to find when the takana was never on in the first place, right? The gezeira never applied to that.
Right.
So he's saying in the situation, I think what he's saying is, situation that it's not so bad.
Mm-hmm.
So he still says, why? I assume the reichim means the pharmacist.
Yeah.
Right? We get it already from the company.
Right. Even the pharmacists don't. I have inside knowledge. They're not crushing things in the back.
Even the pharmacists don't know how that happened.
Right. So
he says. He says ve'yivano b'shemar advaz. This is a Shor Mitzvah Malacha. The Gzeir Shchiga Samonim Kill Yoyse Mi Yisra Amir La'akum B'Shabbos B'Shvuz D'Rabbanim V'im Kein Kol Shekein B'Zmanenu V'Afilu Hachi Mi She'in Morchuch Yimno Atzmai V'lo Yishtamish B'Hem. So he says like this. I think this is what you were saying, a similar line, at least the way I understood you were saying.
Yeah.
That there are situations that the generation will change, the time will change, and because it's such a Rachatik Metzias,
what's rachatik mean?
So far of the possibility,
like rachuk.
Rachuk, we're not smashing the medicine anymore.
Right.
So he's explaining. You were talking about on Yom Tov Sheni. Were you talking about
Shabbos?
Okay, Shabbos. So even worse, achas kam v'kam on Yom Tov Sheni.
Yeah. No, Yom Tov Sheni. It's known. Anyways, it's
yeah. Yeah. So it's mutter.
Okay.
Right. So he's talking Shabbos here. That there's a greater room to be makel, to be lenient. To take medicine, even if it's not a point of neufel mishka, of a person who's going to have stam. That's what it sounds like what you're saying.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
All right.
I had a question, which is, how is it that observing 2 days...